Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all the precious saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That was the Old Revival Quartet. And, of course, those guys go back to the 1950s. And as you can see, that was the revival music that has been with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ since those hymns were written. They were good back then, and they're good today. They're classics. When a song is a classic song, it is timeless. And this is why we should encourage our young people, even our children, to sing these timeless songs. They're classics. People don't write like that anymore. People don't speak about Jesus like that anymore. This is why we keep playing these hymns, because they bring us right to the Lord. They bring us right to the foot of the cross where we need to be, under the blood of Jesus, under his mercy, grace, and peace. Well, we're back at it today. We're talking about the glorious Church of Rome, and today we're talking about Mary. And I've dubbed her Much Labor Mary, Much Labor Mary. If you have your Bibles opened, it reads in Romans chapter 16, Romans 16, verse 6, it says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. We're making our way through the 16th chapter of Romans, and we are considering all the people that Paul names, and who are they, and what were their contributions in advancing the cause of Christ in their generation. Again, the Apostle Paul uses the word aspasomai. Again, in greeting Mary, he says again, and I hate to be redundant, but aspasomai means grab that person, give them a big hug, and kiss them for me. And that's the word. So he says, when Mary receives this letter, that she may receive a kiss in the Lord and a big hug in the Lord. Who is this Mary? Well, we don't know who she is, and there's various Marys in the Bible. Take, for example, the Old Testament Mary. Moses and Aaron had a sister whose name was Miriam. Miriam is the Old Testament equivalent to Mary, much in the same way Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent to the New Testament Jesus. Jesus and Joshua are one and the same. Joshua's Old Testament rendering, Jesus' New Testament rendering. Mary and Miriam are one and the same. Miriam, the Old Testament rendering, and Mary, the New Testament rendering. My mother's name was Miriam. Miriam. And so there are numerous Marys or Miriams in the New Testament, the first being the mother of our Lord Jesus. Her name was Mary. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. Then there's that other Mary, the mother of John Mark. The mother of John Mark. John Mark is the writer of the Gospel of Mark. And his mother was a very prominent saint in the Jerusalem church. And we know that based on Acts 12, verse 12. So you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you have Mary, the mother of John Mark. Then you have Mary of Bethany. She's the sister of Martha, who is also the sister of Lazarus. Remember Lazarus in John 11, who had been what? Resurrected from the dead after being 4 days dead. Martha and Mary, the two sisters who served on Jesus and the disciples, Martha and Mary. Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Then we have another Mary, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Apostles, the mother of James and Joseph. This is Matthew 27, verse 61, and John 19, 25. That's another Mary. And then, of course, who can forget Mary Magdalene, the one whom Jesus cast out of her seven demons. That's Luke 8. So you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of John Mark, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who's also known as Mary of Bethany, Mary, the mother of the apostles James and Joseph, and also Mary Magdalene, a committed female follower of Christ. Those are the Marys. This Mary is not one of those Marys. We don't know who this Mary is, so we're gonna dub her Mary of Rome. We're gonna nickname her Mary of Rome. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to greet this Mary, who now is at Rome, because the letter is being sent to Rome, and the Roman Christians are being addressed in this letter. So Mary is at Rome. And Paul says, when you see her, when you look at her, when you read this letter, I want everyone to acknowledge and greet her with much love, this particular Mary. Why? She's the one who bestowed much labor on us, who bestowed much labor. Those three English words, bestowed much labor, are two Greek words together. Two Greek words put together, bestowed much labor. The first one is the Greek word kopia. Kopia comes from the root kopos, where we get the word fatigued. Kopos, fatigued, to be worn out, to be weary. So when someone is kopia, it means they are fatigued, they're worn out, they're weary because of much activity. In other words, Paul says, Mary is tired because she wearied herself with labor and toil arduously. She faithfully labored long hours and toiled to ensure that we had been accommodated and that we were taken care of. And then it goes on to say, not only did she bestow labor, not only did she become weary, not only did she wear herself out, not only did she become fatigued, not only did she labor long, but she bestowed much labor. Now that word much is poulos, P-O-L-U-S, if you transliterate the Greek letters into English, poulos. And this means great quantity or great amount. So what Paul is saying is, listen, this Mary, she worked herself to the bone. She worked herself tired, throwing much labor on us. Now, we don't know exactly what she did. We're not told. Paul does not tell us how she served him and the us, the apostolic team, the missionary team, the traveling team of preachers. Paul doesn't say how, what she did. But one thing he records, she did much of it. And every time she served us, every time she labored on our behalf, she wore herself out. And for that, Paul commends her. Now, obviously, Paul must have received these benefits at the hands of Mary, either at Corinth or at Ephesus. Again, Paul doesn't tell us where or when Mary had bestowed much labor on them. He doesn't say what city. He doesn't tell us at what stop, at what period she came to their aid and served them diligently. But what he does record is, hey, I don't need to go into details as to where she did it or what she did for us. I will tell you, she wore herself out. She gave 110%. She continued to serve us until she required to go to sleep. She labored. Now, I got to tell you, it's not that Paul has taken advantage of this woman. It's not that his apostolic team, his team of missionaries, were taking advantage of this woman. No. What Paul is saying is this. All of us who are engaged in Christian service do so to the point of laying it all on the line for Jesus. No one here is serving the Lord with half measures. We are giving our all to the Lord. You see, if you're the kind of person like I am, I love to give it my all for Jesus. And on my team, I want those very same kinds of people. If you are a half-measured preacher where you will only go so far for Jesus, I don't want you on my team. I don't want to be part of your team. I want to be on the same team with people who are sold out for the Lord. And Paul says, listen, when you come to Mary, tell her we love her. Give her a hug for us. Let her know that we have not forgotten how she wore herself out in order to advance the kingdom of Christ. An amazing woman. I was at the cemetery yesterday, at the Dodgeville Cemetery. I wasn't at church praying at 12 noon because Mr. Enya, down the street from Grace Church, the Enya Funeral Home, had asked me to assist him in the gravesite burial of a young lady named Jennifer. Jennifer was a resident of a home for people with mental and physical disabilities. It's called Lexington, and it's a Lexington home in this area. Our dear sister Anita Nichols worked for that agency for many, many years until she retired. So sometimes at these funerals, Anita shows up and she tells everybody, this is my pastor, which makes me feel just honored. So yesterday I was doing a gravesite assistance with Mr. Enya, and they always read this poem. Every time, I think I've done four of these, and every time someone from Lexington is going to be interred, they read this poem called The Dash, The Dash. I'm not going to read all of it, but I can tell you that this young lady, Jennifer, she was born in 1964, and then there's a dash, and then she died in 2022. So 1964 dash 2022. That's what was on her gravestone, and that's what was on her casket. The dash is that little hyphen between the year that you're born and the year that you die. So I'm going to just read a portion of it, and it goes with today's lesson. This is how the poem goes. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. Now I'm going to scoot down all the way to the bottom and read the last paragraph or the last portion of the poem. So, it goes on to say, when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? So notice, this lady was born in 1964, and she died 2022. So the dash is the time that she lived, the years that she lived. And so when we look at Mary here, Mary in Romans 16:6 has long gone home to be with the Lord. It's been 2,000 years since Mary passed. But we know based on this text how Mary lived between those two dates, the date of her birth and the date of her death. We know how Mary lived out her dash. She was the one whom Paul said wore herself out in order to advance the kingdom of God. She laid it all out on the field. That's an athletic term. You know, when you play a football game or a baseball game and they say, well, we left it all on the field. We gave it our all. We lost the game, or we won the game, or we won the championship, or we lost the championship. But I know that I gave it my all. I left everything on the field. This world, my dear brothers and sisters, is our field. What will be said of you when you are eulogized? How would you spend your dash? Finally, I conclude by reading a little comment here by the great commentator, Adam Clark. Adam Clark is that Methodist, that great Methodist commentator. And Adam Clark said this about Mary in Romans 16:6. He says, who this Mary was, or what the labor was which she bestowed upon the apostles, we know not. Her works, though hidden from man, are with God. And her name is recorded with honor in this book of life. To all the Marys out there, who worked their fingers to the bone for Jesus. Your labor before the Lord is not in vain. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow to talk to and teach and share some Bible time with all those who will join me at Grace Church and giving it all to Jesus. God bless you.
Francis Canola is a fourth generation.
After an introduction like that, I can hardly wait to hear myself. I do get out in concerts quite a bit, and I always feel like somehow that this is just home for me, and I feel more that way all the time, and I can't think of any place where I'd rather be, any people I love more than you folks right here. In Oak Forest. I'm going to sort of give you the sort of program tonight that I present when I'm out in other churches. You will forgive me. I hope I'll be playing some of the numbers that you've heard before, maybe some that you haven't. But these are all very special to me. I feel like these songs are more than words and music. I believe they were inspired in the hearts of those who wrote them by the Holy Spirit, and I think that's why when we hear them, our own hearts respond. I know mine always does. And I hope you'll be just as blessed with this music in hearing it as I am in playing it. I'm going to begin with a great old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and tune my heart to sing thy praise. I learned a long time ago that you cannot truly sing the praises of God unless your heart's in tune with him. Then I want to play a song, and I'm a little sorry that Pastor isn't here tonight, but he had a very good excuse. another grandbaby, but I'd like to play a song that I think happens to be one of his favorites, and that is When They Ring the Golden Bells for You and Me. And then old gospel song, I don't know if I've played it here, Dwelling in Beulah Land.